Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you are listening to a very special edition of Black Geek Movie Talk. It is Tuesday. Tuesday is December 22nd. I am your host, Jolanda. I'm here with my co-host, Elise.
Hello, hello.
And today we're doing our annual, it's become annual now, our year in review, where we look back at the year of science fiction and fantasy films, and we are going to talk about the worst and the best. And the way that seems to work, that we both seem to like and makes it succinct so that we can fit it in an hour show, is what we do is we do five of the worst and then five of the best. What are we doing here today? We're going to just take a look back.
Yolanda, did you hear that?
I don't hear anything. So we're having some technical difficulties. Elise is on a distant planet, clearly. we're going to have to work this out. We're going to do a test show right after this. I mean, I hope that you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. we're going to have to work this out. I don't know what the problem is. So that's what we're doing. We are going to be talking about the best and the worst. And to start, Elise, what did you think, like, overall in general about this year? Did you think we had, like, a good crop of movies, or is this, like, one of the weaker years, do you think? Like, I know it's a very general, broad statement to make, but what was your overall impression of the year in terms of science fiction and fantasy and genre films?
Looking back, I mean, there were a lot of offerings, but looking back, overall, there were some exceptions, but overall, I feel like this wasn't a great year. There were a lot of like, all right, so-so
mm-hmm.
kind of movies, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was a little bit disappointed.
Reviewing
the movies that came out this year.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, I think for fun, I would like to go back and see and sort of just for kicks, like as we started the show, I don't know how many years ago, and just to compare, like what was happening in 2015, so like 2012 I think is when we started at the end of 2012, just
mm-hmm.
to you know kind of see sort of compare what's what. So, okay. So let's get started. Elise, let me ask you something really quick. Are you logged in? Can you see the studio right now?
Yes.
Okay. So you're seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh?
Nothing. I just said, okay.
Okay. All right. So we're going to get started here with the show. Let's just get started. And let's talk about first the best. Why don't we do that? Because I think the worst list is more fun in that, you know, people could possibly get heated. You know, and if, you know, to talk about more detail, like, well, why would you think that? You know,
okay.
So I like to leave the worst last. Okay.
Okay.
And I also what I'd like to do is when we do the best, that I do one and then you do one and then I do one and then you do one. I like how that format works. Okay.
Sounds good. Yeah.
That sounds good to you. Okay. So why don't you get us started with your number five? And again, just to explain again, we're counting down. So we're
okay.
doing five. Number five will be the least of the best, if that makes sense. Counting all the way up to number one,
yes.
which is considered our best of the crop of this year, the best, okay? So to get us started with your number 5, and if you can, when you give us the title, and if you can, the date it came out, and then whatever else you want to say about it and why you picked it, okay?
So my number 5 of the best movies of this year was actually the first movie we reviewed. It was Predestination.
Aha.
Came out January 9th of this year, starring Ethan Hawke, based on a Robert Heinlein short story called All the Zombies, written and directed by a couple of brothers. I think you pronounce it the Spirit Brothers. So for me, this was kind of like a small movie, but the cast was great. I love Ethan Hawke. I love Noah Taylor. The woman who plays the female version of Ethan Hawke.
Yes.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yes, see it. Spoilers. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a year in review, folks, so there's going to be spoilers. Yeah.
was great. The story was great. It was interesting. I thought it was executed nicely. They had pretty difficult, like, makeup effects to pull off. It didn't look too cheesy. It looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, based on the other, like, big-budget blockbuster-type movies we saw this year, I just felt like this little thing was strong.
This was,
enjoyable, and it was different.
Oh, my gosh. And I absolutely agree with all of that. And I'm kind of surprised that, well, maybe not surprised. Maybe I am a little surprised that low down on your best of list. I mean, I'm not going to, because this is on my list too. And so I'll leave it there. Once I get to where it is on my list, I'll talk about why it is where it is. Because I think, you know, we're getting inundated as geeks right now with comic book, science fiction, fantasy offerings. And to me, more and more, my vote is going for these smaller films that are, really, really strong and pulled off really, really well and stay with you a long time. Finding that I'm leaning towards more and more, you know, because when I go back and I think about some of these big budget films that at the time I might have not had a problem with, that I might have enjoyed, but I can't even remember really what happened, versus some of these smaller films that have just stayed with me, just like stayed in my subconscious. And I think that that's a really powerful statement. And I think films like that deserve a place, definitely, on best of lists, and not just sci-fi fantasy lists either, but like great movies, period lists. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay, my number 5, and I had such a hard time, and I'll talk about why in a minute, figuring out what number 5 on the best was, because there were, I think what I came down to was like 3 that I wasn't sure even should be on the list, but if they were going to be on a best list, okay, I'll put them on 5. I actually ended up coming up with The Martian.
Oh,
my number 5. this came out October 2nd, directed by, the science fiction, king of the, giants, Ridley Scott. You had, a stellar cast, just retardedly good cast. The winner standing out for me that I didn't expect to stand out was Jeff Daniels. He, for me, was the winner of this film. And that's saying a lot, because there was nobody in this film who didn't pick up, who didn't come and do the work. Everybody was on point at 100%. And I don't know, the only reason this is, I don't know. I'm so conflicted about this. I was going to say the only reason it's this low on the list is because of that whole thing that was revealed about Matt Damon.
Yeah.
And I'm still kind of hurt by that. And I'm still kind of trying to wrap my head around it. And for me, that was the only, negative, really, about this film, because we came into this thing knowing that, and I felt like I just looked at his performance completely differently. Like, everything he was doing, I was, like, I found myself, like, you know, like, sucking my tongue, like, rolling my eyes. And it, yeah. and it was just so unfortunate. It's so unfortunate that that happened. So, but, you know, you can't deny. I mean, this was, I don't know if you've gotten a chance to read the book. This was by far one of my favorite books that I read this year. And they did a great job executing it. I mean, I can't think of any really one big, huge negative aside from, you know, Matt Damon making retarded statements. you know, they did a good job executing it. And stellar cast, all that stuff, good, you know, sci-fi film, you know? So that's why it's my number five. So there you go. Yeah. So, what's your number four?
My number four was one of our horror movies that we reviewed for Halloween.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Which one?
It's.
Yeah.
I put it on there because, like you were saying, it. Kind of like stayed with me. You know what I mean? It was really interesting. Kind of, you didn't really know what you were watching, and it was just like a good, solid horror flick.
Yeah, yeah.
And that came out. What was that? March 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And written and directed by David Robert Mitchell.
Okay.
So it was good. It was good.
Yeah, it was. And yeah. I didn't even think about, do I have any of the movies you did for Halloween on my list? No. Actually, they didn't make either one. Yeah, but that was, I agree, that was one of those smaller ones that kind of came out and you were kind of hearing things about it and you're like, well, let me check this out. You know, what? And it was. It was like typical... You couldn't figure out, like, I think we talked about in our review, like, what time period is it? And that, like, added to, for me, like, sort of, like, the creepiness. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. I don't understand where we are. Like, what's happening? And then on top of that, you know, the horror portion, which was clever and well done and not, like, retarded.
Yeah.
Okay. My number four was... Ex Machina or Ex Machina? I don't know how you pronounce it. Yeah, that's my number four. This came out April 10, directed by Alex Garland. This is actually, I think, his first director credit. He has writing. He was a writer of 28 Days Later, which is like one of my absolute favorite horror films of like all time. And he also wrote Sunshine. Which was also a very clever little film. And my vote, again, this is a vote for something that was kind of small, something that kind of stayed with me for a bit. I mean, just the look of it, I felt, was it was out of that, had that out-of-time kind of quality to it. I felt like he used a lot of very, like, what happened? Are you okay? Did you just yell stop?
No, I said ah.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Are you being attacked? Are you all right? like this, you know, 70s sort of quality, very, you know, I liked the effect of the robot. I thought that the effects of how she looked was really good, and it was just very strange and unsettling. And what's his name? Oscar Isaac was insanely good. It's like this insane genius. So good. And just the feeling of, like, sort of unease. It was just, it was a beautiful film, I felt like. I thought it was just well done, and it stayed with me. And it was smaller. And, like, this overpopulated, you know, comic book and not always done very well comic book, big blockbuster movies. It just kind of stood out for me. So that's why it's my number four.
Ah.
So.
Yeah, I can see that.
Uh-huh. So, what's your number three?
Well, my number three was The Martian. is and I struggled with that for the same reason. Like,
yeah.
I really didn't want to like this movie, but I did.
Okay.
Like, it was good.
Hmm.
So, it's my number three. I don't know if there's too much else to say about it.
Okay. All right. My number three was Kingsman, The Secret Service. Yeah, the reason why it's higher up on the list was, for me, I think that films that you go in not expecting, like, that much from, and then when they sort of surpass that, for me, that's when I vote higher for them, okay?
Yes. Oh,
and
yeah. Okay.
This came out in February, so it was one of the first films I was not expecting to have such a good time at the movies that early in the year. I just wasn't. I was like, I didn't know what to expect, really. But first of all, Colin Firth is the winner. If we're going to have winners, he's the winner.
Yeah.
He is the hands-down winner. And I hate that they killed him off. Spoilers, sorry. This came out in February. If you haven't seen it, oh well. Because I would have loved to see this guy reprise this role in, if they were going to do a sequel. He was the hands-down winner for me. I loved everything that he did and everything about him in this role. The newcomer, what's his name? Taron Egerton? Is he the star?
I think that's
he was adorable. And, you know, it had some problems, you know, kind of things that I was like, oh, I wish they hadn't done that. But at the end of the day, my vote is for something that I was expecting nothing from, but then coming out and being like, wow, that was such a good time. Like, I genuinely enjoyed myself and really loved the characters, specifically the Colin Firth character and the cutie patootie, Taron. So, there you go. That's my number three.
That was a good choice. I thought about putting Kingsman on there. I mean, that was definitely one of my favorites of the year, but it didn't
make
sense.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Through the Martian. Okay. So, we're down top two. What was your number two of the year?
My number two was Ex Machina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked this. I love Alex Garland. Like you said, Oscar Isaac was great.
Mm-hmm.
I love Domhnall Gleeson. I just,
mm-hmm.
I don't know why I like it so much. It was probably that one episode of Black Mirror. You should watch it on Netflix.
Absolutely.
This was just, it was like, I loved the production design.
Yes.
And the story was interesting. When I reviewed it, I think I wasn't as happy with it. I was a little bit upset with Alicia Vikander.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about it and kind of reassessing, I was like, I really like that movie and I want to own it.
Yeah.
So that was my number two. And that came out April 24th.
Yeah. Well, I think it was April 10th. Did I say April 10th? And see, you said something really important because I think it's important to say that, like, when we initially do these reviews, because that was what I was thinking, too. I was like, some of these things, I wonder what I said initially about them.
Yeah.
But listen, after you go through an entire year and you look at the year in total, things rise to the top. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that was actually a hell of a lot better than any of the other offerings that we saw this year. And that's what happened. So, yeah, I can agree with that. My number two was actually Predestination.
Oh.
Predestination was my number two. I thought this was a miraculous. This film was miraculous.
Okay.
it was, like you said, the very first film that we reviewed. I don't think we've ever, I don't know in the history of ever, that something so compelling and well done has been put out that early in the year. I don't know. I'm probably wrong. But, I mean, this thing came out January 9th. Like, January 9th, we just started the year, and to be that challenged by something and be like, what the F am I watching right now? But it still be so, I mean, it just blew my mind, and it still blows my mind. This thing has stayed with me and probably will stay with me. I couldn't believe, because I'm going back looking at my calendar, and I was like, that came out this year? I feel like that came out 12 years ago. It was so powerful. I was like, that didn't come out in 2015. But yes, it did. It came out in 2015, January 9th, 2015 of this year. This thing was so, it was so intricate and crazy. And they handled all of, like, the time travel stuff so well. It wasn't like it was crazy because you didn't know what was going on. Like, you knew what was going on, but your mind didn't want to accept what was going on. That's crazy. It was very clear. For something, like, so intricate and crazy, you stayed with it. You knew what was happening.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, that can't be what's happening. But, yes, that is what's happening. So well done. And freaking Ethan Hawke, who would have thought? If he had been, like, the king of, like, well-thought-out science fiction. Like, when the hell? Who saw that happening? Who saw that coming? I didn't. But that's what's turning out. Like, every time he's in something, especially if it's, like, a small, he seems to, you know, gravitate towards the smaller budget stuff, I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go see it. Because he seems to make really, really intelligent choices, things that I really enjoy. So that is my number two. I mean, I didn't even have to think about it. I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be number two. This is going to be number one. It was number two for me. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. So, okay, here we are with at the end of the best of list. Now, okay, here's when I have to get comfortable because I want to hear. I have a feeling, I hope, that we're in agreement. I don't know. What is your number, the best of list? Of the entire year, 12 months of movie going, what's your number one? I want to hear it.
I don't think we're gonna agree. But my number one.
What's your number one?
Obviously, was Mad Max Fury Road.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Of course.
Of course. Of course.
I mean, it's okay. George Miller, obviously, Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron, Nicole Stark.
Yes.
But this thing blew my mind. And we saw a huge Cinerama Dome at the Hollywood Arclight.
Yeah.
It just visually, it was like you were joy. I was laughing. I jumped. I got emotional. I mean, it was just when they say like tour de force, I think this is what they're talking about.
That's what they're talking about.
Was spectacle in the best of the word.
Yes. Yes. I mean, this thing, and we should say it came out, you know, May 15th. This thing blew everybody else out of the water. Like, there was comic book movies. Star Wars, everything. It just blew it up. I mean, because, like you said, for all the reasons you said, visually, I can't say enough visually. I just want to bathe in it. Like, I want to bathe.
Yeah.
I just want to roll around the way this looks, okay? And then it was just everything, but done in a new way. Everything that I grew up loving and, like, kind of stayed in the back of my mind, the original Mad Max films, like, it was still true to that, but it was something else. It was something else. And I think, you know, when we're talking about, because I had a couple of, I wanted to kind of, like, do an honorable mention of a few things, this did it better. I mean, when we're talking about staying true to something but also bringing something different, which I think we're all in agreement that Star Wars didn't kind of really do. He stayed true, But then he also, this is something different. We've got a new Mad Max in Tom Hardy, which I'm not even going to talk about Tom Hardy. I'm not even going to go there. But he was so great. I want to see him again. I want to see him again as Mad Max. Okay. I want to see freaking who would have thought, you know, Charlize Theron. Like, what? First of all, her whole look. Okay. Don't even get me started on that. Whoever decided that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was brilliant. The landscaping, the explosions, these original, you know, hour-long crazy monster truck car races. I mean, there's not enough that can be said about this film on so many different levels. There was never, ever a point in the film where I was like, oh, looking at my watch, I'm like, is this going to end anytime soon? Like, that never happened.
Yeah.
It was just, oh, my God. And I will have to own this. I'm going to have to own it. it's just brilliant. I loved it, and it blew everything else out of the water. Just completely there was no competition. There was no competition. So, yeah, I'm glad that we both agreed on that. Because
<Yeah.
laughs> there really was nothing else to choose, really.
No.
There wasn't, right? I mean, there wasn't even like, oh, I had a hard time. What else could, no. This like completely ruled. It just ruled.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that said, we're doing good on time. We're about at the halfway mark, so we have time to talk about, turn the page, and talk about the worst. And there was plenty to choose from.
Yes.
But before we start, I'm just going to say that my were four things, a bunch of these things I voted for because they should have been better by saying that. And that's why they're on this list. There were a bunch of things that we saw that were no good, but we went in knowing they weren't going to be any good. So it was kind of like, you know, and then I also voted for things that just took like a big fat dump on my childhood that I put on here because it was like, you have disrespected my childhood, and that is why you're on this list. So, that being said, Elise, why don't you tell us what your number five was?
All right, number five, for really exactly the reasons you said, and kind of like the reverse reason for why Kingsman was so high, Spectre for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because this should have been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it should have been Daniel Craig. You know, I had written off Bond, and Daniel Craig just revitalized the whole thing for me. I was like, oh,
yeah,
man, down with Bond again.
Yeah.
And then Sam Mendes, you know, Skyfall, still I think the highest rated movie on this show.
Yes.
This, and it just, it was really so disappointing.
So disappointing.
Like, the expectation compared to what the film actually was, that's number five.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz, not used to great effect. He could have been much better.
Yeah.
It was kind of a mess. I mean, and there were parts of it that were beautiful, you know? It was a decent movie, but just the fact that it was so kind of boring compared to what it could have been, so...
What it could have been. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with everything that you just said. Number five for me, and this wounds me. This is like actually, this hurts my feelings saying this. I'm hurt. I have to utter this. But Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh! And
the reason it's number five and not like higher up was because, you know... It wasn't the worst thing that we saw all year. Definitely not, okay?
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination. But for me, Avengers, Joss Whedon, there aren't words to describe how high I think of him and his writing ability and his directing ability. And he did such an amazing job with the Avengers, okay, that going into Avengers Age of Ultron, I was expecting at least the same, at least.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not any better, but at least the same because, again, this is not Joss's stuff. I think it would have been a much different film if we were talking about something that just came out of his head. I think that's why. But it just hurt me that I didn't enjoy that movie much. You know, I just did not feel like a Joss Whedon movie at all. And I know that his name is on the credits, but I have a hard time believing that somebody didn't, like, at gunpoint say to him, no, you can't do that. We don't want good. We want messy. And so... That's what this felt like to me. It was just messy. I did not like the way Paul Bettany, that whole Vision thing played out. I didn't like the way he looked.
What?
No. The Vision?
You didn't
the
like
Vision.
The Vision looked?
No. And we talked about this. He looked crazy. It was ridiculous.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous. You know who I'm talking about? I'm not talking about the robot. I'm not talking about Ultron.
No. Yeah, no.
I'm talking about that weird looking like that. No, I didn't like that. I did like. I mean, we can talk about like James Spader for me was the highlight of the film. He was the highlight. His voice, I could just bathe in his voice. It's like all day long. And he just the way he did it was just was amazing. But that was, for me, was like the best part of this whole film. Everything else was a big fat mess. I didn't understand why have the Hulk, you know, flirting with Black Widow. Like, I don't know. And I just don't like Hawkeye. And I didn't like, we spent all that time at his damn house talking to his wife and kids. I was like, I don't care about it. I don't care. We're spending too much time on a character that I could care less about. Like, it was just a mess to me. I didn't enjoy it at all. In comparison to the Avengers, I mean, this was just a big fat mess. It was, like, too much, too quickly. I just did not feel like a Joss Whedon production. So that's why that's number five.
That's funny.
The dialogue, to me, totally rang true of Joss Whedon. You know, some of the action stuff, I was like, but the dialogue, to me, was very much... like an episode of Buffy.
Okay. Number four
for me was for the same reason that Spectre was on here. It was just a giant letdown, and that was Jurassic World. Actually, I'm looking at my list. This would probably actually be higher.
Yeah, I'm wondering. Why is it so low on the list?
it was just no bueno. It was not good. It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand the amount of money that this thing made. I mean, this thing, it's beaten all sorts of records. And I'm like, did people see a different movie? Was there another Jurassic World that I saw at the ArcLight?
Listen.
Whatever came out, because it was terrible.
We're going to have to do like a whole, I almost feel like we got to do a whole nother show just talking about between like fun done well and fun done poorly. Like I don't even want to talk anymore about my list, and I'm going to get into a lot more detail about what a big fat failure this was. I really do. I feel like we need to do a whole nother show. A whole nother show talking in detail about some of the stuff because I can't even talk about it right now because we only got 25 minutes and I wanted to spend more time about how horrible that movie was. My number four was Spectre. And we don't, you know, you basically covered all the reasons why Spectre is number four on this list because it was like a big fat letdown. I was expecting so much more after Skyfall, and that's why it's higher on this list than Avengers, because I wasn't, you know, Avengers is not a Joss Whedon thing. It's Avengers.
Right.
It's a group of characters that I didn't care about. He made me care about them. And so I went in not with as high expectation as I did with Spectre, because Skyfall was so, I still, like you said, I think it's still our highest rated show ever on the show. And it had all the elements in place, same director, same main character. Like, what happened? I don't know. But that's why it's number four. We don't need to talk that much about it. Let's talk about number three. What's your number three?
Number three, kind of again, for the same reason, was Terminator Genisys.
That's my number three, too.
Oh. Like, a big size disappointment. They kind of, I liked the casting of Emilia Clarke.
Yeah.
I was excited about that. I thought she was going to do a good job.
Yeah.
They hinted, you know, Matt Smith, they hinted that he's going to play a bigger role. And it was a big fat waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
was ridiculous. I didn't like the new Terminator. I was glad that they cast a person of color, but I didn't like him.
Right.
I think, man, I don't want to say that I hate any actor, but I'll just say that Jay Courtney, I do not like his work. I don't like his work. Very nice man, but I really hate him.
Well, listen. Listen, this came out July 1st, I will say, July 4th weekend, and the reason it's high on my list is because it's offensive to me. It's offensive to me when you take something that was so well done, that I grew up with, and you doodle all over it. That's why it's high on the list. I went into this not really thinking it was going to be good. I kind of expected it not to be good, but... Because it's high up because it's offensive when you take something, like, don't even attempt to take something that's so good if you haven't put in a lot of thought and time into the story and the editing. Like, oh, we've said this before. Neither one of us has made a movie. We acknowledge and appreciate the fact that making movies is not easy. It's not easy.
No.
I don't know. The director had a completely different vision, and they just said, "The hell with you. We don't want good. We want doo-doo." I don't know. But all I'm saying is, my vote is, like, come on, man. Don't even make any more Terminator films. Don't make them if you're not going to come, if you're not going to bring it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like they completely disrespected the original stuff. And like I said in my original review, I was not happy with the cast. I was not happy. I knew that Khaleesi was not going to be a good fit for this role. Why? Let me tell you why. Because of someone named Linda Hamilton. That's why. And I don't care what anybody says. She is and always will be Sarah Connor. If you don't cast somebody who's going to blow the hell out of that, like, blow that up, like, make me completely forget about Linda Hamilton, then don't bother having Sarah Connor. You know what I mean? Because I grew up knowing who Sarah Connor is. I know who Sarah Connor is. And she is no Sarah Connor. Okay? That's all I'm going to say on that. And I'm pissed. I'm pissed. You know what? They're probably going to make another Terminator because it made enough money, I think. I don't know. It probably did. That they're going to continue with that same, you know, line of, like, retardation. You know, it's just offensive to me. That guy, like, Jay Courtney being Kyle Reese, he's not Kyle Reese. I know who Kyle Reese is. And he is no Kyle Reese. Okay? All right. I'm done. Number two. What's your number two?
Number two was, again, one of our Halloween movies, The Lazarus Effect.
Uh-huh.
I was disappointed. Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be fantastic. I was kind of disappointed because I like Mark Duplass, and I feel like he picks good projects. And then the cast I really liked. I like Evan Peters, and I like Donald Glover. But this was just a mess. It was the plot was stupid.
Yeah.
Very predictable. Just underwhelming in so many ways. Number two.
Yeah. Number two. My number two was actually, and this is really high on the list because this is one of those that I went in kind of thinking, this is probably not going to be good. And there were a bunch of those, but this made it, it stood out for me as being like, wow, okay, I knew it wasn't going to be good, but really? And my number two was Jupiter Ascending. It came out February 6th. This was so wrong in so many ways. And it's hurtful to me because it's the Bukowskis. They gave us The Matrix. They have yet to... And I appreciate the fact... Let me say this about the Bukowskis. I appreciate the fact that they seem to be the only genre sort of directors out there who continually try to do something unique. They're trying to do their own stories. They're not recreating. They're not retreading. They're trying to come up with something different, so I appreciate that. But so far, what we've seen from them has been far from good. Far from good. And this is definitely up there. It's far from good. I mean, I'm not even going to talk about Channing Tatum. Even... get into why in the hell, who decided to cast him as like some space wolf? Really? Okay, I guess. And poor Mila Kunis. I just feel bad. I can't even really talk about her. I'm sure she's a very lovely person, but somebody's got to help her with making, like, better choices, maybe, or I don't know. I don't know what the problem is, but this is just... Oh, man. Well, man. I don't know what else to say except, oh, man. Yeah. So that's why this is just high on the list. Just really set out as, like, ridiculous. So here we are. It is the number one. The number one, the absolute worst of the entire year, in a year full of bad movies. What was the most to you? The most outrageously, like, you want to get your money back, you want to set something on fire, you want to write letters, you want to pick it. What's your number one?
It was Jupiter Ascending.
I
want to see what you thought was worse than Jupiter Ascending.
I'm going to tell you what, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay? But, yeah, Jupiter Ascending was your number one. Do you have anything to add to the horror that I mentioned?
Oscar winner Eddie Redmayne. terrible.
Oscar winner.
Terrible choices.
What?
Terrible choices. It was played horribly. The final fight scene between him and Mila Kunis looked like a couple of second graders on a playground laughing. Just not good. And how, like you said, anybody was able to make Channing Tatum unattractive, they deserve an award for that.
They deserve an award. I mean, it was so ridiculous. It was so ill-matched and ill-fitting. It was like, why in the hell would you do something like that? I'm going to say what my number one is, and this is specifically a vote against people taking what was brilliant and taking a big fat doo-doo on it. Like a big fat, let me just pull down my pants, just give me a second, let me just take this film that is beloved and genius, and let me just doo-doo all on it. Let me just rub my doo-doo. Jurassic World. Jurassic World, because I am still angry at this film and the fact that it broke records. This is my vote. This is my vote right now. I am throwing the gauntlet in the sand. For all the reasons that we talked about in our original review, how you could take something and then just, like, dumb it, like, just, they just, like, dumbed it down to the lowest quotation. Nothing made any sense. It was just a big, fat monster movie that was dumb. For all the reasons that you said, I mean, listen, I'm all for fun, but there's a difference between fun and stupidity. And the reason why, and I specifically, and I'm thinking about Star Wars and our, you know, our arguments against and all that. Listen, I'm for fun, but I'm not for stupidity.
Yeah.
The reason why I enjoyed Star Wars versus Jurassic World was that you had characters that were fleshed out and well done. Now, whether they borrowed from the original, they borrowed, but it was like, because we talked about Rey, okay? I'm just going to talk about Rey for a second. The casting choice of that person. Yeah. She did no wrong. There was nothing that she did was wrong. Nothing. Zero. Nada. This is a character that I understand. She is on a desert planet. She's trying to make it get by. She's got a pass. She's drawn to the good side. She wants to get into the fight. She's got to, you know, stand up for herself. She's got to be, use her ingenuity. She's got to go and she's got to scavenge from broken ships and do the thing and think. She's got to learn how to fight. So we understand her character, right?
Yes.
Versus this meat monkey, okay? All right? In Jurassic World. Now, let me tell you something about Chris Pratt. I like him, okay?
Yes.
I like him, all right? I like him a lot. However, how are you going to go from a Chris Pratt? Why is he there? Like, what? Like you said in your original review, like, in the original Jurassic Park, you had Dr. Grant. We understand he's been this archaeologist, he's been in love with dinosaurs all his life. We understand his passion and his thing and the confusion and the confliction that comes in when he's put back into the world where these things that he's been studying in textbooks and in the ground come to life. We understand that. That makes sense beautifully and it makes sense and it draws us into that.
Right.
What the hell is Chris Pratt's character? Why do we care about him? They're just making monsters. Now we're taking the genes from this, we're splicing them together, and just, where's the passion? Why is he, oh my God, and then freaking Bryce Dallas Howard? Is this 2015 or is this 1915? Like, that whole character put that, like, female protagonist in heroin back, like, 25 years. She's running around Jurassic World with a skirt on and high heels, running and screaming, and she makes no sense. Like, what the heck just happened right now? Did anybody see Jurassic Park? Anyone? Because I saw it. It's not Jurassic Park. This was a far cry from Jurassic Park, and I couldn't enjoy it. I couldn't help it. This wasn't fun for me. This was offensive to me because I know what Jurassic Park was. And it was brilliant, and it was fun at the same time. This was not brilliant. This was dumb.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of monsters running around with a big, fat, you know, alpha male meat monkey running around. Like, what are you doing? I don't care about you. I don't care about these monsters running around. Like, what the F? And freaking my dude that I love normally, Vincent D'Onofrio? What? Like, everything about this movie was offensive from beginning to end. The fact that it made money was offensive to me. It's offensive to me that anybody would say that this was anything but doo-doo. Doo-doo! Pure and simple. And that's why it's number one on my list. Because they took my childhood, they took Jurassic Park, they took it, and they shoved it up their collective butt and rubbed it around in the doo-doo. And then took it out and said, here you go, Jurassic World, have fun. And that pisses me off. That's number one. number one, man. There was nothing else that was going to be number one. Nothing else. That is why. I mean, you know, Jupiter ascending, yeah, we knew that was going to be doo-doo. We saw the pictures of Channing Tatum looking like a space wolf. We knew that. The Jurassic,
right.
Jurassic World was just, it was offensive on so many fronts, and I'm still angry that it made any money because they're going to continue thinking that they can just turn out any kind of crap. And this is the problem. This is the problem that we face as moviegoers and, you know, lovers of this genre, is that they just, you know, we give them our money, you know, and nobody's
yes.
held accountable, you know. no one. I think somebody needs to be crucified. Quite honestly, I feel like someone should be crucified for this. Not just shot, not just set on fire, but crucified. And nobody will be. Nobody will be. They're going to be rewarded. They're going to be rewarded able to continue directing, continue writing, and it's just doo-doo. It's absolute doo-doo, and I won't stand for it. I'm not going to see any more sequels.
Oh, you did
not
do it? Oh,
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I'm going to let the masses go, and unless somebody that I actually respect says, oh, yes, you should go see this, then I'll go see it. But I'm not going. I'm not running out, like, opening weekend or whatever. I'm done. Because I'm done. This is like, this is now like, what's that franchise where I'm like, no, I'm not paying any amount of money. The Transformers. This is now the Transformers. This is the Transformers. When they come out with Transformers 25, I'm not going to see that. And I'm not going to see any more Jurassic, these things. Because they are offensive to me. They are offensive to me. So I'm done. And there and there you have it. So I mean, I don't know. Do people, I'm so like wrapped up, I got so emotional. But what is my number one? I mean, you know, after that whole, like, diatribe, I mean, don't you think that it should have been higher on your list? Don't you think that it's more offensive than a Jupiter ascending?
No, because I guess, well, one, okay, we discussed this during the review. I don't think I was anticipating this as much as you were, Jurassic World. I mean, I was excited, but I don't think I was anticipating it as much as you. And, I mean, if we're just looking at, like, if we take aside expectations and just, you know, the quality of the film, I really feel like Jupiter Ascending was a worse film. At least Jurassic World, you had, like, some special effects. Oh, that's kind of cool to look at. Chris Pratt is funny. You know, you have John Williams' score. So they were both terrible, but Jupiter Ascending really, really bad. The story didn't make sense. Even the special effects were super, not that it didn't make sense, it was just silly. The special effects weren't great. The costumes weren't great. I didn't like that one scene where there was a black woman pulling the white people like a horse or an ox. She was like hooked up to a carriage. So little things, yes, for me, the worst in the bunch.
I mean, you know, for me, it wasn't like I was anticipating Jurassic World. I wasn't, I'll tell you something. I didn't have high hopes for it. Like, just like I didn't have high hopes for Terminator, but listen, just like if they would have botched the hell out of Star Wars would have been number one. It's the principle of the thing for me. It's like you've taken something that was so good. That's what makes it more offensive for me than a Jupiter Ascending. Because Jupiter Ascending is you tried and you failed. Okay, you know. But when you take, if you're going to have the ball to take something as cherished, a property as like a Jurassic Park or a Terminator or Star Wars, okay, you got to bring something. And so when you fail, to me, you fail bigger than if you just tried something and it's like, well, that sucks. So that was my reasoning for giving Jurassic World a higher on my list than a Jupiter Ascending. Because it's like, yeah, well, you tried and that sucked. So try again. But, like, don't touch my stuff. Like, don't touch my stuff. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. If you're not going to do it justice, then leave it alone. That's why, you know, Star Wars, I feel like, you know, as we kind of talked about yesterday, when he, you know, played it very, very safe and, you know, lifted quite a bit from A New Hope, he played it safe, but it actually paid off because I enjoyed myself. And really, the main thing is that there were characters that actually you were invested in and were good and were fleshed out. I think that is the big difference between that and this. Because they didn't even try. It was like they weren't even trying to me, which makes it worse. It's like, how are you just going to throw some dude in, some just some military jock who would love to see dinosaurs? How does he understand that? Oh, really? Oh, now he trains velociraptors? Like, what? You're not even trying right now, dude. At least J.J. Abrams, you can clearly see the efforts that he made in the casting choices, in the character development. Again, that's the winner. That's why Star Wars is the winner to me over this, because of Finn, because of Rey, because of Poe. You know, these are characters, they're carrying a huge burden on themselves, and if they weren't, you know, drawn out well and weren't enjoyable and didn't act well, they would have been on the list. Star Wars would have been on my list. It would have been number one. It's like, you're going to take my Star Wars? Like, what? I'm ready to fight you right now. I am ready to go outside. Let's meet when you want to meet. After work, after school, I'm ready to fight. But he didn't do that. The Jurassic World, I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with you right now. So there you have it. our best and our worst. At this point, we can wrap it up. Now, we are doing, did we decide? I think we did. We decided that we are going to be doing our year in preview show. That's right, Elise, right?
Yeah.
We're doing our year in preview, our annual year in preview, where we take a look at what's coming up in 2016. And we attempt to forecast, well, no, I don't think we're going to forecast how well they do. I think we're talking about what we're looking forward to, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And so we're going to do that show a week from today, on the 29th. Tuesday the 29th at the same time, 1:30 Pacific, and yeah, that should be fun. So tell us what you think. We have email. Elise, you want to give the people how they can get in contact with us if they
check us out on Facebook.com. We got a lot of interesting articles and trailers and opinions. Facebook.com/Black Geek Movie Talk, and we are on Twitter, BLK, GK, MVE, TLK, Black Geek Movie Talk.
Yeah, and email. Did you mention our email?
Oh, blackgeekmovietalk@gmail.com.
Yes. So those are all the ways you can contact with us. What were your top picks for the year? What were your worst? We're interested to know. I don't know if we're going to get any feedback about my controversial number one pick, but there you have it. That's our show. I get to say what I feel. All right. So until next time, thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back here at the same time next week on Tuesday the 29th. Till then, bye-bye.
Bye.